You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is so good to be here, Ron. On 9/26/24th, September 26th. Imagine, almost toward the end of September.
Almost.
Here, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We are excited here. First off, joining us in the studio, Heidi Cartwright, our own retirement income certified professional and managing director. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. I'm delighted to be here today, and I certainly have been enjoying the beauty of northern Michigan in the last couple of weeks. It's pretty awesome.
Just this morning, I was enjoying the trees, looking up and saying, my gosh, the colors, they are coming on. And I hear the voice over here, Deanne Jennings, our own director of operations. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning to our listeners. Good morning, Dennis. I am super excited about today's show.
Yes, because joining us is Ed Slott. Now, we've got a lot to talk about. First off, before you even join us, before you say anything, Ed, I need to introduce you first. But good morning. Good morning.
Hey, good. Fire away.
Fire away. The retirement savings time bomb ticks louder. And isn't it interesting? The intro of this book is a perfect intro for Ed. America's IRA expert is a nationally recognized speaker, television personality, and best-selling author known for his unparalleled ability to turn advanced tax strategies into understandable, actionable, and entertaining advice. And that is true in spades, given how many classes we've attended with Ed.
Yes, indeed.
Named the best source for IRA advice by the Wall Street Journal, he is a go-to resource for media, regularly providing insight on breaking news affecting retirement and tax planning laws and strategies. So we want to talk about this book today here, but we're also, for those who have questions, IRA questions, trust tax questions regarding IRAs, we have 3 available books for those of you who would like to call in. And our number, if you would, Ron, is?
It is 231-947-0023, 947-0023. You can text in a question or call.
Yeah, now, if you do want the book and you're not able to get through, we actually have 5 available, but we're thinking we may not have time. So given our timeliness here on the radio show here.
You say if you call in, though, you get a book.
If you call in, you get a book. Okay. Obviously, Colleen will get your address information or whatever. Actually, I think a better way to do that, just pick it up at our office. Yeah, just thinking about the mechanics
we'll
of that.
Name.
Our office is at 1105 East 8th Street. And thank you, Ed, for joining us. Welcome this morning.
Well,
sir,
I'm thrilled to be here, especially all the opportunities available and things people need to be aware of. As you know, because you're well educated on these rules, you and Heidi, IRS just released a whole slew, 300 pages of more tax rules that you need to know before you can even touch $1 of your IRA.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something related to adjustments made to the SECURE Act? Is that what you're referencing there?
And SECURE 2.0. It's getting to the point that it's unbelievably complicated to get at your own money. You really do need a specialist in this area. You know, this is something that I would put in the category of don't try this at home.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting what you had said about this is that Congress seems to develop more and more ways to get at your funds and to make it more, not only more difficult, but to tax it in ever greater amounts.
Well, it's all a big revenue grab, but some of the complexities lead you to penalties because there's rules surrounding every bit of movement of IRA or 401k money. You know, all the rules are structured so that you can't touch any of your money without paying a tax or a penalty if you do it the wrong way.
Yes.
Even a simple rollover from one IRA to another can cost you your retirement savings if it's not done the right way. And most people, and I have to say most advisors, including tax advisors, are just not aware or just cannot keep up with these rules. Except for you guys, because you've been training on these rules, so you kind of grew up. It's kind of like learning a language, and they change a few words. But if you know the basic language, it's easy enough to pick up and get with the changes. But imagine somebody just coming into this. It's like, all right, now you have to learn Russian, and you have to know it by tomorrow.
Not a fun deal. Yeah, that's not an easy language to learn. And if I was thinking as you were talking, Ed, even if I don't happen to quite know the rules to a particular case, I have someone to contact at Ed Slotin Company. You have several well-known, well-versed professionals there that can help us as well as advisors.
Well, that's it. You know, you can't know it all. And we don't know it all. I mean, we're constantly studying this every day. As you know, me and my team of IRA experts that train advisors like you who have made a commitment to learning this. This is, if anybody listening takes one thing from this broadcast, like I said, don't try this at home. You need somebody that specializes, that has made a commitment to getting educated on this. And what Dennis just said is key. You have to know what you don't know. The problem is most advisors don't know that they don't know, so they're dangerous. They don't know that they don't know. Oh, yeah, move this here, do this here. Oh, what, penalty? Oh, didn't see that coming. You know, at least you know to ask because your antennas are up because we're constantly barraging you with information, updates. I'm looking at our training manual right now. It just came in for our upcoming program workshop. Two more days of solid tax training coming up in San Diego, all focused on the intricacies of all of these regulations that IRS just released. They're so complicated. Just to give you an idea, in July, they released, like I said, about 300 pages of regulations. The first 260 pages were what's called final regulations on the SECURE Act. The SECURE Act was enacted at the end of 2019, effective for 2020. It's so complicated, it took IRS 4.5 years. That's more than a presidential cycle. 4.5 years to figure out what they think Congress meant, and there's still questions.
So I thought that was interesting. Your book alone, The Retirement Savings Bomb, Time Bomb Ticks Louder, is more than 400 pages. And it is loaded with information and so helpful. So with that, let's cover the five easy steps to protecting your retirement savings from the tax man. First step is timing it smartly. Could you talk a bit about that? Timing is everything, you say, in Chapter 4.
Oh, yeah.
Getting it early distributions before 59 and a half and all the rest.
Here's what we're talking about. We're not talking about investing or making money. That's great. And lately, the stock market's taken care of that for most people.
Yes.
But it's keeping what you have. Remember, your IRA money and your 401k money, it's tax deferred, not tax free. You have to pay a toll to get to it. And everything's based on timing. If you take it out too early, it's a penalty. You take it out too late, it's another penalty. You don't move it the right way, it's a penalty. So everything is based on timing. When you access that money, that's why you need to work with an advisor that has access to these rules and a deep knowledge. And that's what Dennis and Heidi have done by joining our group years ago. I think you guys have been members for over 10 years. Of Ed Slott's Elite IRA Advisor Group. And what's different about this group, for anyone listening, this is not about helping people make money. Indirectly it is, because a good tax advisor can make you a fortune that you can actually keep, even if the market goes down. That's what this is about. It's all about the tax planning. The average advisor does not have this knowledge because they're trained to help you make money. That's great. For the first half of the game, the second half, getting that money out, is where this game is won or lost, like a football game. The second half of the game. Now, I don't want to put the kibosh on anything, but we have a team in Michigan, that one of the few teams in football that has not yet been to a Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Now, yes, which team would that be? Wow. So they're so knocking close on the door, Ed, though. I promise. They're knocking on the door for sure.
I know. I hope so. I root for them all the time because I'd like to see the Lions in a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. I think they have the chops to do it now. They always look good. But it's the, in football, it's always the second half of the game. It's amazing how many games are won or lost in the last 3 seconds, with a field goal that ends the game or a penalty that ends the game or something like that. That's why with this retirement, it's the same thing. You got to play all the way through. But most people are not aware of all these tax landmines and obstacles and tax traps right at the end of the game. That's why you need an advisor to kind of coach your way through this. You can't try it at home because there's too much at stake. One wrong move, you could lose a fortune to unnecessary and unforgiving taxes and penalties.
See, Ed, you're making the point right here. As you were talking, I was thinking, no wonder we've been with you more than 10 years. You make this an interesting subject. You just do. You bring energy to it, and so appreciate it. So the step two, secure it. Now, this is what I was referencing earlier. Secure is the word they use to describe the new ways they are finding to separate you from your retirement savings.
Yeah,
I've said this many times, but here it is again. Just Ed,
grant.
Just a moment, if you would. Our tax system penalizes savers. So
yes.
Could you talk about that a bit, please?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. The more you have, our tax system has always been a penalty on savers, but it's a more severe penalty on those who have saved in IRAs and 401ks, because we got all the goodies up front. All of that money has already had the tax benefits in the form of deductions on the way in. Now you pay for all of that on the way out. And that's where you need to make sure you're getting that money out at the lowest possible cost. And that is an opportunity to take advantage of with the right advisor right now. Why? Because tax rates are low. In fact, Dennis, if you look at that book, go to page 28. I know people in the radio who don't have the book can't see it, but tell me what's on page 28.
Oh, I was hoping you would say that. The top federal income tax rate by year, and it goes all the way back to 1913, before some of us were even born. Let's see here.
Some of us.
Yeah.
I think most of us. Yeah. I'm just guessing on that one.
See, he's only 111 years old. So anyway, let's see, 77%.
You know, I got to tell you something. My daughter was asking me about, she's studying, you know, this family ancestry stuff.
Okay.
So I was telling her I was lucky enough to have a great-grandmother that lived almost to 100 years old. She was born in 1873. Her mother was aware of Lincoln. I mean,
wow.
She used to tell us stories growing up in 18. Can you imagine growing up in 1873?
I can't.
And she died in 1971 at 98.
Wow.
I was about 18 or 17 or 18. So we got to know her and hear her stories from living literally in a cabin, obviously no electricity, indoor plumbing, cars, no vehicle, you know, to living through the industrial age is amazing.
Yes.
Anyway, this goes back to 1913, the 16th Amendment. And the reason I put that chart of the top federal tax rates is to show how bad it has been. You know, Mark Twain had a saying, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And I'm worried, given our situation now, the tax rates, I don't know if they'll go back up to 70, 80, 90%. I don't think that will be tolerated anymore. But they will go up, I believe, because as a CPA, a tax advisor, I have to believe in math. You see these debt levels, I think we're at 34 or 35 trillion. You know it's bad if they start rounding up to the nearest trillion.
I think it's near 40 trillion. 40 trillion there, Ed, yes. I was just looking at these tax rates. The top tax rate from 1965 to 1981 was 70%. How's that for some perspective? 70%.
And that was a drop.
That was a drop from some previous years.
We're like half of that, the top rate. It's the best tax environment. Yes, everybody complains about taxes. Nobody likes to pay. But if there was ever a time to pay taxes to get at your money, now's the time to free it up and move it to tax-free vehicles like Roth IRAs, where you can have all the growth in your hands, 100% yours, where you don't have to share it with Uncle Sam anymore. Now is the time to strike.
Yes, perspective. So the 12% bracket, the 22% bracket, 24%
bracket.
Yeah, amazing.
Bracket. Look at those brackets.
Very low brackets in perspective.
I mean, 24%. I'm looking at them right now. These were unheard of rates. The 24% bracket, a married couple filing jointly, can have taxable income, that's after deductions, of up to $383,900 and still be in a 24% bracket. That's incredible.
It is incredible. And income up to $487,000, even at the 32% bracket, from 383 to 487 taxable for marriage filing jointly. Now, next, set up your beneficiary plan. Talk about that if you would.
That's probably the number one mistake people make because, again, people don't check beneficiaries. They figure somebody else did it. You know, it's always the same story. They figure, oh, the bank did it. The bank checked it. The bank says, no, the advisor checked it. The advisor didn't check it. Yeah, so now they thought the accountant checked it. He didn't check it. The cat checked it. Nobody checked it. You know, so we have this void, and it's the beneficiary form that will determine, especially under these new rules, how much of your retirement savings you keep and how much will go to the government. You want to keep more and pay less, but you have to have a plan. That beneficiary form is the plan. It's a critical document. You know from our training, how many times do we hammer you? It's the one thing we say in every meeting, in every, I say it on every TV show, every course, in my book, two chapters on that. I mean, the horror stories you hear at our workshops are almost always related to not having an up-to-date beneficiary form or not having a beneficiary form at all and getting the worst distribution options or worse, having beneficiaries completely disinherited because of the way the tax rules worked out or way the plan options worked out when you don't name a beneficiary.
Yeah, when we have clients come into our office, Ed, each time we actually print off the beneficiaries of each of their accounts so that they can review those. So that is a consistent
review item
for our
clients. And, you know, another era I've been seeing, you know, with all the mergers and the financial planning firms, a lot of them been taken over, as you know. We're finding, I'm hearing lots of horror stories when the assets, say the IRAs or 401ks, mostly the IRAs, move over to the new institution, the beneficiary forms are not carrying over correctly. Mm. Sometimes they just set it up as the estate, the worst possible option because they didn't have the information. Now, I thought that these things would carry over automatically, but apparently not, and we know that because some of our advisors in our group have showed me where they showed me the beneficiary forms once it's at the new institution, and they might have close to the right names, but they're misspelled. That tells us they're actually manually retyping it.
Hmm. Yeah, I had that happen personally when we changed institutions for one of our deferred comp plans. And they didn't even include the beneficiaries. The contingent beneficiaries were excluded. So, that's
a
common
problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you worked hard for this money. You wanted to go to the right people, but the distribution options and the taxes that will be paid depend on what kind of beneficiary you have. Plus, you want the right people to get your money. It's really pretty simple.
Yes, it's amazing how much money is accumulated. It's a common theme, Ed, and I know you see this, but the articles out there about the number of millionaires being created through 401k plans and IRAs. Yep,
I saw Fidelity just put something out, the highest ever amount of 401k millionaires. But last week, exactly a week ago, last Thursday, ICI, the Investment Company Institute, who keeps statistics and data on financial balances, I don't know if you saw their report. They issued a report saying the current balance, there's currently $40 trillion in retirement savings right now, and that $40 trillion accounts for about a third, 32%, of all household financial assets in the United States. That shows you what a big chunk of IRAs and 401ks are of people's lives.
Yes. Talk about a freight train coming down the track in terms of taxes and complexity and all the rest. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's just loaded with taxes. It's a tax train, you could call it. Yeah. And something has to be done about it, but most advisors are not committed to gaining the education that people need, like you are doing, by studying this. And when I say studying, it's not like you go to a course. You take an online course while you're watching TV like people do. You know? I mean, this is ongoing training. You have a back office where you have expertise to address questions that even if you don't know the answers, you know there's a question. That's the secret to knowledge. To know that you may not know something and have a back office that can give you the right answer the first time. Because this area, the IRA tax rules, is not only complex, one of the most complex areas of the tax code, it's also the most unforgiving. There are not a lot of second chances if you make a mistake.
That's right. So next, Ed, thank you again for joining us. Payouts to your beneficiaries, 6. Post-death distributions.
That's where I said on the beneficiary forms, I actually have to have two chapters because it undersecure it, because it's so complicated and the rules have all changed, and that's where you come in. You have to explain the payout options. But one of the things good tax advisors, and I know you know this, but you don't just follow the exact rules, because if you do that, you'll pay the most in taxes if you just do what the tax law says. I'm not saying don't do what the tax law says, but do more. In other words, let's say you have a beneficiary that's on the 10-year payout under the new rules. They have to take it all out by the end of the 10th year after death, which fast tracks, it pushes, accelerates all that income and tax in a much quicker way and costs more tax. So there's a case where maybe you don't have to take it out to the end of year 10, but would I wait to year 10? I would take money out each year to smooth out the tax bill and take advantage of these low brackets every year instead of just 1 year. So that's the kind of tax planning that Dennis and the crew there is exposed to, not just following the exact rules, but doing better than that, using the rules, make the tax law work for you rather than against you.
Yeah, in essence, anticipating higher tax rates, as you mentioned previously. And that brings
I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, no kidding. Step number 3, Roth it. Now, the point to remember is that the government gives it what the government gives, it must first take away the quote from the beginning of that chapter. The Roth IRA is the single best gift Congress has ever presented to the American taxpayer. Expand on that, if you would, Ed.
The only question is how much you're willing to pay to get it. And good news, it's on sale. Taxes are on sale. Look, everybody loves a sale. Look at how people on Black Friday before Thanksgiving, how they like to trample each other to death and save $10 on a TV. Here's the thing. Sorry to say, the thing in the store that's on sale, you don't, I hate to say it, but you don't actually have to buy it. With the taxes, you do. It's not if, but when. So if you know you must pay that at some point, you or your beneficiaries, Why not get it on sale without getting trampled?
What would you say to those CPAs, their clients who have CPAs who might disagree with you on paying that extra tax today versus waiting until
tomorrow?
Well,
they all disagreed with me, most of them, for years. But now they're coming around, you know, because we're a kind of a unique group as CPAs. We were always trained from day one in college. You know, they hardwired you to never pay tax before you have to. Always put it off. Always put it off. Always defer, defer. That was the name of the game. But when I saw the Roth over 20 years ago, I said, you know what? This is not the game anymore. And I became a recovering CPA. And most, a lot of the colleagues now, some are still, like you said, Dennis, you know, they don't like paying tax up front. Mm-hmm. But this tax will have to be paid. You can't ignore it. It's like you can't brush it under the carpet and make it go away. You can't not look at it.
Yes.
You know, if you do nothing, doing nothing is not an option. To let the IRA sit there and grow and accrue and build a tax bill for the government, just because you don't look at it doesn't mean that the problem is going away. It's like that old Henny Youngman saying. He said, when I read about the evils of drinking, I gave up reading.
He also said, I've got all the money I'll ever need if I die by 4 o'clock. I thought that
right.
was interesting as well.
Yeah.
So,
and
what
the best advice he gave in a best one-liner, which I use in every seminar, and he said it as a funny line, but it was so true. I'm putting all my money into taxes, the only thing sure to go up.
That's great. Good timing.
He was right.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
best
he was
investment
right.
you can make is in taxes now while rates are low. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You can know the rules, but you need an advisor like Dennis and Heidi that are well-trained in these things to make the rules work for you.
What would you say to someone who's accumulated a tremendous amount in their IRAs and really doesn't like tax, but at the same time, they're being caught by RMDs? The RMDs are that significant, the required minimum distributions. What sorts of things could they do with those RMDs? And, of course, this is a leading question, but also in terms of beneficiaries, if they didn't want to pay too much more tax today, what would you say to them?
Well, let's go before RMDs kick in at age 73. The plan is, if you're listening and you're in your 60s, start a plan to start converting some of these IRAs to Roth. So when you get to RMDs, maybe they won't be such a factor. We have too much of a high concentration in this country in tax-deferred IRAs. Most people, because that's what they had. They had 401ks. They rolled them to IRAs. And there's not enough still in Roth IRAs. Just like with stocks, you like to diversify so you don't have all your money, all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. But a lot of people do have all their eggs in one basket tax-wise in IRAs. So start a plan to start trimming those balances. Get it out at today's rock-bottom, historically low on-sale rates. There's a sale on taxes. And get that money into Roths so they grow tax-free. And Roths have no RMDs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're already taking RMDs, like you said, Dennis, those have to be taken. See, the beauty of the Roth before RMDs kick in, you can take control of your tax rates. You can control how much you pay each year if you do some Roth conversions to use up the low tax brackets. You control how much you pay. If you wait till you're age 73 and are stuck with required minimum distributions, the key word being required, then it's out of your control. You're forced to take a certain amount, and that amount cannot be converted to a Roth. So you just have to take the money out. You can still convert the rest to the Roth if you want to, but it's more expensive because you first have to satisfy your required minimum distribution before you can convert any other dollars to a Roth IRA. So the plan is to get the conversions done, hopefully before RMDs begin at age 73.
Now, the common question, Ed, and was brought up before when we were talking about the radio show, is the Roth going away? So some folks are concerned about that. How would you address that concern amongst our listening audience?
Well, you're asking too nicely. I get this question in every consumer seminar I do, and nobody asks it as nice as you just asked it. It's usually some form of, because I talk about all the Roth, because I love tax-free. I don't know anybody with a Roth that is sorry. Do you?
No.
I mean, you have clients with Roth. Everybody loves it. They look at their statement, wow, it's all mine. I don't have to share any of it with the government ever for the rest of my life and 10 years beyond. So the Roths, I always talk about the Roth in these seminars, and somebody always gets up, well, can I trust the government to keep its word that Roth IRAs will always be tax-free? And my answer is always no. You can't trust the government as far as you can throw them. We have a saying in CPAs. CPAs have an old saying, tax laws are written in pencil. They can always be changed, but they're here now. But the big question is what you asked, Dennis. What if Congress needs revenue? Well, they'll always need revenue.
Right.
Can they change the rules? Yes, they can change it. Will they? In my opinion, no way. Why? Lucky for us, Congress are the worst financial planners on earth. They're the most short-sighted, so why don't we take advantage of that? Congress, when people say, can't Congress tax Roth IRAs? They could, but I'm saying they won't. Because they're counting on that money. They secretly love, I mean addicted to love, Roth IRAs. Why? Because they know it brings in tax revenue up front. By encouraging more people to do Roths, they're grabbing future income and getting it now, not caring about what happens, you know, in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a problem for a future Congress. They keep kicking the can down the road or whatever that saying is. So they're not worried about that. They're short-sighted. They see the revenue up front. The only money that can get into a Roth IRA is already tax money. So they get their money up front. That's all Congress looks at. So to Congress, who always needs revenue, they love Roths. That's why over the last 15 years or so, they've been expanding Roths. And the biggest evidence is in Secure 2.0, where they have the biggest expansion. Now they want they're allowing SEP Roth IRAs, simple Roth IRAs, 529 to Roth, matching contributions and plans to Roth, catch-up contributions, Roth. They love Roths. So I don't think it's going away, because if they do anything to hurt the benefits of the Roth, in other words, tax it or try and do something, it will kill the golden goose that they have been relying on for revenue.
So that's the goose that laid the golden egg, as you would say, and they're not going to change the rules on that one. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. If you remember, if you go back with us a while in your training, Dennis, in 2010, before 2010, you could not convert to a Roth under the law if your income exceeded $100,000.
Yeah.
Congress, as always, needed revenue then, and they eliminated that provision. And the money they saw coming in from higher income people rang a bell with them and said, wow, look at this. They gave people the deal of the century. I took that deal. I begged everybody to take that deal. I converted everything in 2010. As a matter of fact, I just did a seminar a couple of days ago to tax advisors, and I said the same thing. I begged you to take that deal, because they all say, oh, wait, I saw you 20 years ago. Yeah, but did you do anything? No, but I saw you.
That's right.
I said, I begged you to take that deal. I said, I took that deal in 2010. I converted everything. And I threw this question out to them, Dennis. I said, I converted everything in 2010. How much tax did I pay? And silence. They said, well, you didn't give us the bracket, the rate. Zero. I paid zero. I told you that was the deal of the century. Zero. That was the deal. If you converted in 2010 because the government needed money so bad, you paid zero in 2010, you paid half in 11 and half in 12. In other words, the government gave everyone an interest-free loan to build a tax-free savings account. It was unbelievable. And that's where Congress saw, wow, look at the money we're making on this, not realizing they'll never get tax revenue later because they're short-term thinkers, so why not take advantage of that? So that's what started them. by liberalizing Roth 401ks, making it more available, Roth 403bs, everything Roth, because they know it brings in money. And they don't really look down the road as what where future money will come from, since they grab, they're essentially Congress grabbing future revenue now.
All right, step number four, I don't want to cover because I'm interrupting the previously scheduled program for this article. You just did add, in Investment News. Good news, the IRS improved the IRA trust rules, and I want to make sure we cover this. The bad news, they still don't work. Trusts remain lousy IRA beneficiaries, says tax expert you, Ed Slott. Could you expand on that? What do you mean by that, Ed?
Yep. Well, the Secure Act was the game changer. And remember, don't go by what the name is. Always think that whatever Congress names a tax law, it will do exactly the opposite. So remember, don't go by
true.
Secure Act. It's the Insecure Act, okay? Remember, it's always a revenue grab. Every tax act is a... Even when they say they're reducing rates, they're getting it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only one pool of money. So anyway, the big change was the elimination of what we relied on for over 20 years, something called a stretch IRA, where beneficiaries could take inherited IRA funds and stretch or extend distributions, deferring the tax over their lifetimes. And the younger they were, the longer the life expectancy. So some younger beneficiaries could extend distributions, defer the tax, grow the inheritance for 50, 60, 70 years. Congress wanted none of that because they needed money and they felt IRA should be for the people who worked and saved, the married couple, not beneficiaries. So they killed the stretch IRA and replaced it with a 10-year rule we talked about earlier, where all of this money has to come out like a fire hose by the end of the 10th year, getting exposed to heavy taxes. In the past, IRA trusts were okay because you could get that stretch IRA through the trust. The kids would get some crumbs each year, little bits of IRA money, but the lion's share could remain protected in the trust. So people with large IRAs, those are the people who tend to name trusts, could have everything they want. Protection for the beneficiaries and from them, and low taxes. So first, let's talk about why would somebody name a trust as an IRA beneficiary? Well, when do you the better question is, when do you name a trust as an IRA beneficiary? When you don't trust. They should have called it a don't trust, because if you trusted them, you wouldn't need a trust. That's when you name a trust, when you don't trust. And it's a big issue for lots of people with larger IRAs. I remember having a client years ago. He was shocked. He came in with a statement. He says, I don't know how I did it. I've got $3 million in my IRA. I'm just a worker. But I worked a long time. And I guess, you know, with putting money away in the 401k all these years, plus I have other money. Anyway, I got $3 million in an IRA. I want it to go to my beneficiaries, my kids and grandkids, but I don't want them blowing it. I worked too hard for this money. There's a candidate to leave it to a trust where it can be protected from the very things most parents worry about, kids not being able to manage money, even adult children, when I say kids, falling for scams, divorce, bankruptcy, lawsuits. There are a million ways that the money can be lost. The biggest comment I used to hear from parents was saying, they would say, it's not my kids I worry about, it's the ones they marry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common, no, it's everybody laughs when I say it, but it's true. That's what people worry about. I earned and saved and invested all this money, and now it may go to somebody that I don't even know. So right. They would name a trust, and that worked before, but it doesn't work anymore because these 10-year rules still apply to the trust. Now, in these IRS regulations, IRS made the trust rules much more favorable, but not tax-wise, more on the administrative level, helping them work better. But if you leave your IRA to a trust, remember the reason I just said you do that, because you want it controlled. You want to sort of rule from the grave or watch over them from the grave, protect it that they don't get, they don't squander it due to their own lack of knowledge or have it taken from them, lawsuits, bankruptcy, all these things I mentioned. So they leave it for to a trust. They want it to last. They want it protected, but they also want low taxes. So now with this 10-year rule, even though it's easier to use a trust, if they want it protected, then they have to keep more of the money in the trust, but it still has to come out in 10 years. So if it comes out and the funds are retained in trust for protection, the trust rates will apply. The trust income tax rates, not the regular tax rates, the trust income tax rates, which you know, Dennis, are the highest rates in the land. After about, in 2024, after about $15,000 of trust income, you're at the top bracket. An individual would not hit that top bracket until over $600,000 of income. Now, any large IRA that's left to a trust, $15,000, the RMD is going to be more than that. So
right.
A lot of that will be a loss to taxes, which defeats the whole purpose of using a trust, because you want to protect it. So instead of the kid blowing it, it'll go to the government. Does it matter who's blowing it? So the trust really doesn't work for leaving an IRA to a trust. It will work, though, if you leave a Roth IRA to a trust or life insurance to a trust, because those are tax-free vehicles where you can have more control for the beneficiaries and less tax.
You know, you use a great term there, the vehicle, and obviously it's the right vehicle. Using the right vehicle with
right.
the right instrument, if you will, operating it can make a huge difference in a client's long-term financial well-being. And we want Heidi to ask a question here. Heidi, if you would.
Yes. Hello, Ed. Yeah, we have.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi. We have a question. We were wondering.
Before your question, you know, your name is famous in New York.
Yeah, I think I've heard about.
You know why?
This. About a football game? Was that involved?
Yep, the Jet yes. game. They broke into the Jet playoff game back in the late 60s, I think, or early 70s.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to put Heidi on, they threw the switchboards. That's when we had something called telephones and operators and switchboards, and they
yes.
blew up because it turned out, I think, Oakland, I forget the particulars, but I think it was Oakland or the Jets scored all the touchdowns, like we were talking about the last few minutes, and everybody missed it. And now, for even 50 years later, they still call it the Heidi Bowl.
Right. Well, wow. I do get asked or reminded of that very often at conferences. But our question is, what do you see what's coming next? Do you have any insights for us on rules, regulations regarding the retirement investment world, things you see that we might keep our eyes open for?
And we have about a
minute
and a half.
The only thing we see coming is, and we don't know, probably higher taxes as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires after 2025. If nothing happens, tax rates will go higher for most people. But I think in general, taxes have to go up at some point. And I think they still have a backlog on regulations to write, IRS. So I don't know if they're going to do that much more tinkering on the IRA rules, because they keep changing them so quickly that it's hard even for experts to keep up on these things. Look, as you know, when you go to our workshops, we're constantly every 6 months, and that's just the main workshops, not counting all the stuff you get from us in between when they have tax law changes or IRS rights regulations. I mean, it's just you get hundreds of pages of new material every few months. I don't think this is sustainable, this system. At some point, I was just looking at something called, at some point, the whole thing is going to break down.
Well, Ed, I hate to interrupt you there, Ed, but we do have to wrap up the hour, so I'll thank you, and Dennis, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll leave you hanging.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank
you, Ed. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us,
something
sir.
Something can't go on forever. It will stop.
There we go. Get the book, The Retirement Savings Time Bomb Ticks Louder by Ed Slott. And you might find a copy of Dennis Prout. You never know. Prout Financial Design, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings. Thank you all.
Ed Slott is not affiliated with Prout Financial Design and LPL Financial.
You are under no obligation to use the services of any of the entities referred and may choose any qualified professional to provide tax, CPA, legal, or trust services. These entities and their services are not affiliated with LPL Financial and Prout Financial Design.